I'm going to read once again from John chapter 19, this time verses 23 through 30. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, each one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one place, in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that it was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, but they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm suffering, whenever I am in pain, whenever I'm thoroughly uncomfortable and restless and enduring something, especially bodily, that's a trial and challenge, I put all of my effort, I tend to put all of my focus on getting rid of what's causing my pain, what's causing my problems. When we're suffering, we tend to turn inward and think of ourselves and concentrate on what we're going through. And it takes courage. And it takes love, and it takes strength, it takes power to even in the midst of our suffering decide that we're going to turn our focus and our attention to other people and deal with them and their needs. And this is the picture we get of Jesus on the cross here, noticing his mother and noticing one of his closest disciples. Jesus, as he's suffering the pain of nails, and each breath becomes harder to take because his shoulders are being pulled in both directions and he can't get his diaphragm down far enough to take full and deep breaths, he thinks about his mother. And he thinks about who's going to take care of her. As Jesus is suffering and dying, he's obeying the commandment, honor your father and your mother. He wants to make sure she is loved and she is cared for. This act of love is a way of seeing, it's giving us a glimpse of the love of Christ amidst his suffering. The love of the suffering Christ from the cross, which we weren't there as one of his closest disciples. We weren't there as his very mother. But we are all there this evening as his followers, all there this evening as those whom this suffering death on the cross benefits. As Jesus faced the hour of his greatest trial, he shows tender compassion for others. And the beloved disciple proved to be an exemplary disciple, one who would follow his master. From that time on, it says, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus' expression of care and compassion is meant to inspire our ability to care and love each other. Jesus' love pours out on us to overflow into one another's life. Jesus' ability to be courageous and show his love even in his suffering enables us to face our own challenges, our own trials, our own struggles with courage and love that we can continue to think of others, even as we suffer pains in this life. As Jesus is on the cross, he's thinking and he's loving not only his mother, not only his closest disciple, but you and me. As he's bearing God's punishment for our sin, he knows it and he's loving us through it. As God is paying the price with his blood that sin deserves, sin, the punishment of sin, the consequences of sin is death. Sin that undermines life requires life as a payback. Jesus Christ is loving us through his giving of himself. And this picture of his mother and his disciple is there for us, and to include us, and to bring us near the cross in ways that Jesus is consciously now thinking of all those he's loving through his death. How could you or I not love in return? How could you or I, who've been loved to death, be ho-hum about this? Or say, well, that's nice what Jesus did. I think I'll give him 1 hour a week back. I want to conclude our meditations tonight with a story about a young boy who was loved by his parents, a young boy who still disobeyed his parents, though. He didn't like some of their rules, and one of the rules particular was that he couldn't mess around with fire, especially in the house. He loved watching those flames dance over the wood, and he would build little things out of wood and then ignite them. And one night, as he disobeyed his parents' instruction, he fell asleep and the fire wasn't put out. He woke to the fire alarms blaring through the house, smoke starting to fill the rooms, and he froze. A dad was yelling, "Get out!" But he was stuck and surrounded and trapped by the flames that he'd been playing with. When he was starting to cough and was getting hot and he was starting to lose hope, his father burst back through the doorway into the house, taking off his coat and wrapping his son in it, putting cloth around his mouth so he would not suffocate from the smoke, and his father drags him out of the house, puts every effort, every last bit of energy he has into rescuing his son, burned by the flames and suffocated by the smoke. This father gave his life for his son to rescue him from the tragedy that he himself caused. A death to save a life. Something of a parable of the way Christ has rescued us from the sin that we brought on ourselves. Rescued us with his own life so we could live. And I wonder, could this boy ever be ashamed of his father? Could this boy ever say, you know, I don't want to talk about my dad. I don't really owe him anything. Could this boy ever forget? Friends, Jesus Christ broke into our lives when it was burning down around us, when we were stuck in our sin. And he rescued us, and in the process, he was burned for us. He absorbed the wrath of God for us. He was killed so we could live. And the cross is that symbol of that sacrifice. The last thing we could do is conclude our day ignoring him, forgetting about him. Don't conclude your day thinking about how much money you could make tomorrow. And by all means, don't conclude your day by some kind of sinful activity that's just going to pound one more nail in and show that you don't really care, you're not grateful for what he's done. Spend the rest of your evening in devotion and in gratitude and wanting to share the amazing, courageous activity of our King's rescue operation, our Heavenly Father's divine Son, bringing us back, uniting us back into the family. This is your King. This is your Savior. This is your Lord. This is the one who loves you more than you can imagine. This is the one that gave his life at a cost higher than you could ever pay. This is our Lord. This is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's respond once again using his words that he has given us to praise him. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Read this with me. I'll read the leader part. Please respond in the part of the people. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.